Thanks for being a part. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is where we're going to go. We're going to start there tonight. 1 Corinthians 14. And since we're talking about school, all right, and some of the ones in the room are like, really? Like, I finished school? I didn't think I'd have to hear the word school again today. All right, yeah, we're talking about it again. But, you know, whenever you go to a classroom about this time of year, you always go through, your teacher gives you the rules for the classroom or the rules for the school. Okay, you go over those things. So what are some rules that maybe some of you have heard this year in your classroom? What are some rules? So what are some rules you have? Okay, no problem. Be respectful. That's a rule. That's a good rule. Okay, Michaela, what's your rule? Not to get up from your seat. All right, these are good rules. What you got?
The exact way my teacher says it is, shut your mouth if I'm speaking.
Okay, so if the teacher's speaking, no one else should be talking. Okay, that's what I got from that rule. Okay, all right. All right, very good. Very good. Let's see, what's another rule? Fill up the front rows first. Does that need to be a rule here? I don't know. We need to adopt that maybe. I don't know. We may have to adopt that. What's the rule? Yeah. No cheating. Whoa, that is a good rule. All right, let's take one more. What you got?
Last year we had
7 minutes to eat lunch rule. Wow, that is quick. That sounds military-like right there. So, all right, sounds military-like for sure. Do you remember what you were going to say? What? Sit down in your seat, all right? So make sure you're sitting down in your seat. You stay there, right? Those are some rules, okay, we have for school and things like that. And I was reading through Corinthians the other day, finishing up the end of Corinthians, and Paul here gives us three phrases that I think if we were to adopt them as rules for our life, for our family, for our local church, we may not need any other rules than these three. So notice what he says here in 1 Corinthians 14. Okay, we're just coming off 1 Corinthians 13, which we know as the love chapter, the charity chapter, okay? And then he says in verse 1, he says, follow after charity. Okay, that means not just like I'm following the leader, it means like to pursue. Okay, I really want to get charity. He says, follow after charity. And then as he's coming down, he's talking about here in the context of spiritual gifts. And notice what he says down at the end of verse 26. So talking about spiritual gifts, their use within the local church. He says, how is it then, brethren, that ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? And then he says this, let all things be done unto edifying. Let all things be done unto edifying. The word edifying here means the act of building or the act of building up. Really, it's actually translated building in the Gospels as well. You know, the truth is we are often way too good at the opposite of building up. We are much better at tearing down than we are at building up, okay? That's just part of what it is. He's like, well, yeah, but some people give me a reason to tear them down, all right, more than others, okay? They give me the opportunity. Many times we're prone to tear down so that we can build ourselves up. So we're not building others up. We're wanting to build ourselves up. So what do? I tear someone else down in order to push myself up or to try to build myself up in my eyes, although it may not seem that way in the eyes of other people as well. Paul mentions the idea of edification in this chapter several times. Verse 3, we find the word edification. Verse 4, we find the word edify two times. Verse 5, edifying. Verse 12, edifying. And then Paul says this in Romans 14 and verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Hey, what would we be able to do in order to impact someone else's life if we carried around this thought, let all things be done unto edifying? What kind of transformation would take place in our families if we sought to edify with everything that we did? Paul says, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what? But that which is good to the use of tearing down, blowing up, silence. No, that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Hey, what transformation would take place in this local church if everyone sought to edify one another? Now, I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful that this is a place where I believe you can come and be edified by one another. Edified from the preaching of our pastor. Edified from, hey, someone, we got an email today, someone talking about others praying for them. And not just praying for them, but following up with them. Hey, I just wanted to know, I prayed for you. How is this certain situation going? Yeah. That's edifying. That's building each other up. I tend to think of it as like Lego blocks, okay? And you always try to build that really high tower, but then you have someone in the family maybe or a friend. What do they want to do? They see it going up, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's going down. Okay, that's what they're thinking, right? And all of a sudden they come over and they kick it, or they accidentally throw something in that general direction and it hits it and knocks it over, and then we're crying and all that. Okay, we're looking to tear down. Why? It's easier to tear someone down, right? It doesn't take as much effort to tear down, does it? It takes more effort to build something. All right, have you ever noticed that? Even in the construction process out there, okay? It didn't take as long to tear stuff out as it did to put things up and to finish them, and to by the time the paint and everything's done, all the hours that went by, there's more hours in constructing than there is in tearing down. Because when you're tearing down, you're not worried about what you're leaving. And we do that so often with other people. We're not worried about them. We don't want all of our things to be done unto edifying. But Paul says, let all things be done unto edifying. And then we come down to verse 40. And Paul says this, let all things be done decently and in order. The word decently here means in a seemly manner. It's actually translated as honestly in Romans 13:13 and 1 Thessalonians 4:12. It can mean polite, upright, appropriate. Hey, what if we just did everything honestly? What if we just did everything decently? What if we did everything appropriate? For you moms with kids in the home, you know, what if your kid just came and their room was clean when you walked in and you didn't have to tell them? That'd be an idea of doing something decently and in order, okay? Many times it's go clean your room, followed up with, like, I want it cleaned up, okay? Not like how you think you cleaned it up, okay? It's how you know mom or dad would want you to clean it, right? Sometimes that follows the phrase, go clean your room. But what if we adopted that, where everything was done honestly, everything was done in order? Here means arranging or an arrangement. God is a God of order. Verse 33 talks about that. It says, God is not the author of confusion, he says in this chapter. We know God is a God of order. How do we know that? Just by the times and the seasons and everything that we see in Genesis chapter 1, okay? God has given that order. Why can we predict, I'm saying we, why can other people, all right, you may be able to do here, but not me. Why can other people predict weather patterns and they know, okay, this hurricane or this tornado is going to hit this exact spot at this exact time? Because God has set things up to be orderly. What? As an example for us to do things decently and in order. What does that mean? Hey, it means maybe just taking care of the stuff that we have. It may mean just trying to make it last a little longer by taking care of what we have. Doesn't mean we have to have the best, but we can take care of what we have. We do things as well and as appropriate as possible. And sometimes that means, especially if you're here and you're in school with everything else going on, sometimes that means doing the best you can with the time that you have. All right, did I do this paper perfectly? No, but I was working and I was ministering and I was doing all these things, so I did the best I could with the time I have. That doesn't mean I was playing basketball 6 or 7 hours a week and blew off this paper I was supposed to write. But hey, we do the best we can. That's another thing you might hear from a teacher. What? Do your best. Okay, how many of you parents have ever gotten an assignment, you've seen a homework folder, and you know the handwriting is way better than what they produced on the paper? Okay, you know the handwriting is better. What? Do your best. What does God expect of us? Does he expect perfection? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. But yet he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God expects us to do the best we can with the gifts. What are we talking about here in 1 Corinthians 14, 12, 13, 14? The gifts that God has given to us. God says, hey, let everything be done decently and in order. And then we come all the way to chapter 16. Paul writing, he's about to finish up. And then he says this in verse 14. It's the whole verse. Let all your things be done with charity. Charity here simply means love. It's that strong agape love, the love for the benefit of the one being loved. And Paul says, let all your things be done with charity. So even if we just take this quickly at face value, let all things be done unto edifying, let all things be done decently in order, and let all your things be done unto charity. Like I said, would there have to be any more rules? If we followed those three things in our life, if we just did our things with charity, if we did things not for just the benefit of ourselves, but for the benefit of someone else. Hey, if we talked to a brother or sister, or we sent them a text, and we built them up instead of tearing them down. Or maybe it's not even a brother or sister here at church. Maybe it's someone you work with, that it's hard to build them up. Hey, what if you did? What if you did everything decently and in order and did everything with charity, did everything with love? So how do we do things with charity? We'll go back to chapter 13. Paul gives us the list here. So he's talking about, all right, these are the gifts that are there. But then he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If I could have the sweetest voice of all time, if I could talk with the voice of angels, can you imagine what that voice would sound like? But I don't do it out of love. You might as well just be making noise in the background. And he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. If I do all these good things, if I serve in the local church, but I don't do it at a heart of charity, what does Paul say? It doesn't profit anything. It's nothing. Why? It's all about doing the charity. And then he says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Whew, we would all be busy just trying to work this list in and of itself. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things. And then he comes down and he says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these three is charity. That's the greatest one. How could we change? How could we impact others with edifying, decently and in order, and charity if that came out from us to everyone we come across? What impact would we make with the gospel? What impact would we make in just building a brother up? Maybe they've been torn down all day long and they need someone just to come by and smile at them. Some of you have this gift of smiling and putting your arm around someone and maybe not even saying anything, but they know you're there and they know you love them. Some of you have that gift. Some of you have the gift of ministering in hard situations or just coming and being aware of needs and using that for the benefit of other people. Hey, what if we follow these rules? Let all things be done in edifying. Let all things be done decently in order. Let all your things be done with charity. Emmanuel Baptist Church would make an incredible impact. In your family, things may look differently. So these are rules that we can follow that the Apostle Paul gave us. Father, we're thankful for the evening, thankful for your goodness to us. Father, I pray that you would help us. Lord, I think of my own family. If we followed these things, Father, what peace, what harmony there would be in the homes. And Lord, what a light would be given out to so many others. Father, I pray that you would help us as a church to edify, to do things honestly, do things right, do them arranged correctly, and that we would do what we do with love and give us opportunity to impact the community in which we live, in which we serve. Lord, we thank you for this time we've had together of just laughter and enjoyment. Praise you for that. And Lord, help us now as we go and enjoy some more fellowship together. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.